think one of the things we have to point out here in this offering that there's no blood mentioned. And therefore, we believe it refers to the life of the Lord Jesus, perfect life.
In this offering, there is no atmosphere of God carrying up a God. So we have just the fine flow of the wheat. So this offering mainly speaks about the life of Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Before he went to the cross, his life from the birth. So how he was, his perfection, his life, that all glorified to God.
Brother Titus, could we say it is the life of Christ from its beginning to the end? Because there is the frying pan, there is the oven, there is the fire. But I think it's not highlighting other than the perfection of his manhood. Even when he was on the cross, there is these highlights of the perfection of his manhood. So you're right, it is really presenting us his wonderful perfection as a man. That's why the fine flour, that word in the Hebrew, it's the finest thing of the flour. It cannot be finer than this. This is really the word that is connected with the fine flour. The word, it's the finest. It's the best. Why is it? It has to be the finest. Because, brethren, we're talking about this blessed man. Lord Jesus as a man, he's ever God, will ever be always God, but he's also this blessed man who came in humanity. And that's why as we will go through it, we're going to understand in light of New Testament, why is it three different way of cooking it, if you will. There is the oven, there is the frying pan, and then there is the third aspect of it. And once we look at the perfection of the manhood of Christ, we will see these three aspects in his own life himself.
To add to the expression fine flour, that when you make fine flour, you're removing all the impurities. So what you end up with is perfect evenness with this flour. It is, there's no unbalance, and it's, I like the expression evenness. In our lives, there's, you know, we are good at some things and other things we're not so good, and we're known for the things we're good at. But the Lord Jesus, everything was even. Everything was perfect. And this is what the fine flour reminds us of. His evenness. And everything was perfect. And so that's why it's fine flour as well. It speaks of his perfections as a man.
It also takes effort to produce the fine flour as compared to one that was less fine. And so we know that Christ could not respond to sin. However, that does not mean that his walk here was easy, that he was just fending things off like swatting flies. In contrast, his life was quite filled with suffering and turmoil and challenges from every which way. I mean, just think just simply about his temptation. And what a trial that had been. And you can just consider how the fineness of flour, which we're seeing in him, is made finer, if you will, because he was perfect in his birth. He was always perfect. But just consider the testimony of his life. Each step he took, it made that flour even finer and finer. Our understanding of it, we see more and more as we look at his life. We see in every little thing he did, in every word he said, the fineness of his life and the perfection of his life.
Notice also in verse 1 the association of oil. And we believe that, again, we know this refers to the Holy Spirit. And even when you think of his temptations, he was led in Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and so on. The Holy Spirit was characteristic in his life.
I'm glad you reminded us of this, Brother Sam, because there are three parts of oil when we consider this meal offering. There is the pouring in the verse that you have mentioned. There is being mingled or mixed. and then there's being anointed with oil. We're going to come to it, but it's nice to present us with that scene of temptation. Because when you go to that scene of temptation, in the three Gospels that it's recorded, he was led, he was carried, and he was driven. The same incident, but it really sheds a three different aspects of how the Spirit of God is bringing this Blessed One to be tempted. But there is the aspect of being led, there is the aspect of being driven, and there is the aspect of being carried. Carried is in the Gospel of Matthew. Why is it carried? Because that's what's suitable for a king. Driven is in the Gospel of Mark, because that is what is suitable of a servant. A servant is driven, is directed of what to do and where to go. And in the Gospel of Luke, he is led, where he is a man. And man, we are learning from the Scripture, it requires leading. And that's the three aspects of how the Spirit of God was working in the life of the Lord Jesus as a man. But these three other aspects that we have, the poor, I think we can come to it to appreciate how the Spirit is recorded of Christ in different areas in his life in light of New Testament. So you might say the pouring of the Spirit, when we consider that work in light of the Scripture, it was always identifying the person. It's very important to look at it this way. It's different than anointing, because anointing, we're going to discuss what was the anointing of the Spirit was all about. But the pouring was to identify who is the priest. Go anoint Aaron. He was anointed. This is the high priest. For example, the pouring of the oil was on kings. This is the king. This is the king. So God, in the act of the pouring of the oil, was identifying who is the man, if I can use that term. This is why Pilate, not understanding what he was saying, he says, "Behold the man. I find no fault in this man. But behold the man." So in the same thing, God was doing it from the beginning, that the Spirit of God came upon the Lord Jesus. How did it come? Resting upon him. He was pouring his Spirit. This is my beloved son. Not everybody else. Not David. Not all these godly men and women. This is, he was identifying who is that blessed man that brings delight and pleasure to his heart. So the first aspect of it is we see that when the Lord started his ministry, the Spirit came and rested upon him. And when it rested upon him, this is, you see how God works? This is my beloved son. And brethren, how wonderful that God has identified for us who is the man that we should be occupied with. The same man who is his delight, God is encouraging us that this blessed same one should be our delight as well.
It's interesting to read that very first verse that it was the offerer who poured the oil on the flour. It's interesting. He must have been preparing it at home, as you were saying, Brother Titus. If you read verse 2, he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. So it was the offerer, as he said, who put the oil on the actual offering and then brought it to the priest.
Because you might say, whatever the offerer is doing and whatever the priest is doing, they're acting on the behalf of God. That this is what God has intended as far as this blessed man is.